You're listening to
All right, so we are going to. I went and saw Star Trek Into Darkness yesterday, and you know I loved it. I thought it was a great movie, and of course, you know I posted my picture with the movie posters on Facebook and talked to a few people, and you know, kind of getting mixed reviews, kind of getting a lukewarm reception.
Now, are we talking about the movie or your picture?
The movie. Oh. Everybody, actually, nobody really commented on my picture. Nobody said, hey, you know, nice posters or something like that, you know. And I was even wearing my plaid shorts, you know. I was really against the plaid shorts, but now I'm kind of liking them. So I've been kind of indoctrinated into that whole thing. You can't find regular shorts, a big pain in the butt. Anyway, so lukewarm reception for the movie, and I couldn't figure out. You know, I sat there and I was really thinking about what is that some people didn't like about it. Now, as with every movie, I don't care if you're talking Iron Man or Star Trek, or I can't wait for the new Star Wars because my God, the fanboys are going to be all up in arms about that. It seems that no matter what movie comes out, it's, you know, this is the review. It was too much like the original or too much like the source material. Wasn't enough like the source material. You know, it was, you know, any argument under the sun, that's what they're arguing about. You know, Iron Man wasn't like the book. It was too much like the book. There wasn't enough action. There was too much action. There was too much story. There wasn't enough story. There was a good bad guy. There wasn't a good bad guy. You know, and it's just nobody can really give a, nobody has really given me an, detailed explanation of of what they didn't like about Star Trek. Now, I have to say, if you have not seen the movie, do not listen to the show because we're going to spoil the hell out of it. I mean, it's the only way to do this. And normally I don't do something this close to a movie release. But of course, you know, all my friends overseas have already seen the film. You know, they saw it last week or the week before. And I've been waiting. I mean, I kept calling it Star Trek Day. And, you know, so we went to the theater with a bigger screen and everything to see it. And I, the only thing I had seen was the trailer that they had been showing. I didn't do any research. I did not care to know. I just knew that I liked it. The only thing I did to prep for the movie is I watched the first one again and I read the prequel comics. There were a 4-issue miniseries from IDW, which I rather enjoyed. And, you know, we have the opening scene of the film, which felt like a good Star Trek episode. You have Bones and Kirk running through a field or a forest. You know, the exchange basically is that Kirk stole something, some kind of scroll, in order to get everybody to follow him out into the forest. And you realize that there's a volcano that's going to explode and destroy the planet. And Spock and a couple of the people were trying to put something in there to stop the volcano, therefore violating the Prime Directive by, you know, interfering. But, you know, trying to do something that, you know, that they felt was right, whether the Prime Directive agreed with that or not. And it was great. We had a great intro. It was great. We had the action. We had the comedy. We had the fun. You know, we had the special effects of Spock in the volcano. We had that moment of Spock thinking he was going to die and just kind of making peace with himself. And we had all these great moments. And I'm like, man, I could not be more all in than I am right now for this movie. I was just so excited.
And not to mention the fact that they didn't spell it out what was going on. You had to kind of figure out why they were doing what they were doing.
Right.
And I really admire the fact that they treat us like intelligent human beings.
Exactly. Because they didn't come out right out and say why they were. He was just like, what did you take? He's like, I don't know, you know, some scroll or something that I thought they all wanted. And then when he said that, I realized he was trying to get them to chase him, you know, through the woods. And you realize you're trying to get them out of the village or whatever was at the base of the volcano, you know?
Yeah. It actually took me a couple, maybe another minute before I figured that out.
Well, then you have the great scene with the Enterprise is in the bottom of the ocean. I mean, that was just freaking amazing when it came up out of there. It just looked so good. I just loved it. Oh man, my wife was tired of me bumping her. I kept bumping her, kept doing the arm bump. Hey, hey. And then we got the title sequence where it said Star Trek Into Darkness. I kept bumping her and I thought, she's like, you know what? Stop doing that. And I'm like, I can't, you don't understand. This is my fanboy moment. I mean, I don't have a lot of like all out fanboy moments, but I've been waiting for this movie, waiting for I enjoyed the first one so much, and I just love Star Trek so much. I've been waiting for something, and even and I knew that just from what I'd seen from the bit of acting from the trailer, that was going to be kind of intense, and that's what I was looking for. You know, I wouldn't have had the same reaction with, you know, some of the previous movies. You know, they were just okay, but this one, I was real excited to be there to go see it, and you know, I was all in. Now, you know, we have a great little side story here with a guy that used to be on Doctor Who has a sick daughter, and the bad guy, you know, approaches him and tells him he can save her. And Benedict Cumberbatch, who also plays Sherlock on the BBC series, and you're like, what's going on? And he's able to do something with his blood to save her, and you're like, okay, well, you know, I figured he just wanted access to whatever, the guy's name was Thomas Harewood in the movie, although they don't really call him that, but his real name's Noel Clark. And, you know, I'm thinking, well, he just must want information, you know, or like a password or something. Well, we get this scene where he goes to work, he's in London, and he walks in and he's doing his thing, and he gets down to his control console, his great big control console, and he has a glass of water, which was kind of weird. It's like he has an actual glass with water in it. And you're like, okay. And we find out later on, this is kind of like a records area where they keep all the, it's like an archive. And he takes his Starfleet ring off and drops into water, and the whole damn thing, the whole place explodes. And you're like, what? Oh my God, I was not expecting that at all. You know, I had no idea. There's a giant hole in the ground. And you're like, what the heck is going on? And at this point, we're still in new ground, right? I mean, there's nothing that's being rehashed here. You know, you're not sure what's going on. And, you know, so, you know, things pick up and we find out that Kirk is in big trouble because Spock filed the official report, and Kirk was trying to BS his way through it to Pike about what happened on that planet. So he gets in trouble, and they take the Enterprise off of him. We find out a little bit later in the movie that they give the Enterprise to Pike, and Pike makes Kirk his first officer. He basically tells him, you're not ready for the chair. You know, we're having that feeling, that moment in the original Star Trek II where, you know, he cheats on the Kobayashi Maru, and, you know, he has never really faced death. But in this case, it's not so much about facing death, but it's just bending the rules however he sees fit according to his morals and his principles, and not realizing that, you know, in the time that we've seen Kirk and the time we haven't seen Kirk, is that he's been in a lot of scrapes, and he's made it through all of them. You know, nobody's ever died on his watch. He's made it through all this stuff. And you know, I don't want to say he seems invincible, but it just, like, it seems to him that there's always another solution, right? So, you know, we have to have this growth moment. Here's the thing about the movie. I think that a lot of people think this movie is all about Kirk's growth, and I don't think it's so much about that at all. I think it's about Spock. I think the entire movie is the meat of the movie is about Spock's growth.
Oh my gosh, yes,
and
absolutely.
And we see this. We get this moment where, you know, Kirk is like, okay, you know, I'll be your first officer. They have a meeting, and during this meeting, with all the high end, all the people running all the big starships in the quadrant, they are attacked by Cumberbatch, and he kills Pike and a whole bunch of other people. And so basically, you know, the idea here is they're going to take, he gets Kirk to take these, what's the guy's name? Now I got to look at it. Cause how did Peter Weller, for God's sake, how can I forget RoboCop? he plays, Admiral Marcus, and he tells Kirk to take these torpedoes. They're going to go as far away from the Klingon planet as they can and still make the torpedoes work. And because they know that's where Cumberbatch is at, they're going to fire all the torpedoes at him, therefore wiping him out. And that's that, you know, and we don't really know much else. And everybody keeps telling Kirk to question what's going on. But in the meantime, Kirk not only doesn't want revenge for Pike's death, but he's trying to do what he's told because, you know, he wants the chair back, and you know, he got scolded by Pike, and he's trying to live up to his expectations of following orders. But when they get there, he decides, you know, Spock tells him, look, you know, you can't do this because he has not had a trial. You know, this is execution. You know, there's not been a fair trial or anything. And so he says, okay, you know, he gets there and he changes his mind. Well, we have this fantastic scene Well, we have a couple good scenes. First of all, Scotty resigns because they won't let him open up the torpedoes to see what operates them. And we have this fantastic scene where we see the Klingons, who look badass, I might add, with their face armor. Was amazing. And then you have Cumberbatch, who takes out an entire freaking squadron of Klingons with a phaser in one hand, some kind of crazy Gatling gun in the other. And it is just amazing. And at this point, I still had no idea that he was going to be Khan. You know, I just figured he was going to be a character like that, but I still had no idea what was going on for sure. And like I said, I hadn't done the research. I didn't care. Well, you know, they capture him and everything, and we have this moment where he reveals that he is, in fact, Khan. And he explains what his situation is, where Marcus has been using him to build these ships of mass destruction that are not for exploration, but for war. And, you know, we're like, what, about halfway through the movie when this is finally revealed? And you're thinking, okay, things are going to be winding up. No, they're just getting started. And I think, just in my mind, without questioning the people who have complained about the movie, I think that the biggest problem that people had was they didn't want Khan. They didn't want a rehash of this character in this reboot. And I think that when we have the scene where Kirk saves the ship rather than Spock saving the ship. Wow, that's really hard to say. Saving the ship. Not shaving it, because that would be weird. But saving the ship. And we have the roles. Everybody's like, the roles were just reversed. Well, no. Yeah, they were reversed. You had Kirk. But the thing is, you had that growth moment for Kirk where he's going to rescue the ship. and so when he does that, you know, it's a growth moment for him, because this is his no-win scenario where it's okay if he dies as long as the people around him do not. And then you have Spock, who has a breakdown. And we have this scene, you know, the scene that we've seen before that we all know from Star Trek II, the one that rips your guts out. And I thought it was done so well. Because Spock sheds a tear and he starts to break down. And up until now, we've had him and Uhura have been kind of quarreling because she thinks that Spock is trying to die. And he had, during that, to me, there's a lot of great moments in this movie, but to me, the best moment in the movie, the one that I really enjoyed, and I thought the dialogue was so fantastic, was when they were on Mudd's ship. And you know, they say Mudd's ship in a movie, but if you read the prequel comics, you knew that ship was going to come into play. When they first go down to the Klingon planet, and you and Spock is telling Uhura that it's not that he doesn't that he wants to die or he doesn't care. It's just that he felt terrible when his planet died, and he relived that. He mind melded with Pike when he died, and he never ever wants to feel that again. And so it's not that that she shouldn't. I can't even say all the words. It was just so fantastic. I wish I had it here in front of me, because it was just so well said, the way he said it. And when he gets done, he explained himself so perfect and so eloquent that there's not beyond a doubt that he cares for everybody in this ship with him right now. And he's not, it's not him wanting to die. It's not him being cold. It's just him shutting down his emotions because it hurts too bad. You know, it's not about him being an emotionless person, but just shutting off those emotions. And when we see him with Kirk, we realize that he still has emotions. And then we have the scene where he yells Khan. Now, I'm thinking that most people probably have an issue with that. I do not, because I felt that that worked. At first, I was a little taken aback, like everybody else. At first, I was like, okay, I don't know that he should be doing that. And then when I started thinking about it, I thought, no, he's in a real emotional state right now. This Khan guy has stolen his friend Kirk from him. And on top of that, they have people in the movie telling Spock that he could never do that he has all this strength and everything, but he could never do what needs to be done if something happens. And so he goes after Khan, and I felt, you know, we have this scene where he's going to kill him. He's going to kill him. It's revenge. I mean, pure and simple. I don't think he has any intention, because at this point he's committed a crime that that Spock has seen, and he's and all the bad things he's done up until now. He has seen those, he has witnessed those, and he's going to take him out. And we have this fantastic scene, all the visuals in the scene of him running through the city after Khan. Just so fantastic. And you have this scene where you're like, you know, yeah, Khan's a superhuman, but Spock is half Vulcan and he's badass. And he is, he's for a while he's getting his ass kicked, and then Uhura has to save him, and then he's like, he's going to take him out. And then they're like, no, we need his blood because we're going to save Kirk with his blood. I felt that the movie would have been better served if they would have taken the blood from one of the other people in the cryotubes rather than Khan, because they were all supposed to be superhuman or whatever. And if we had had the scene where Spock would have actually killed Khan, I think that would have made the movie much more powerful. But we have this thing where Khan is frozen at the end so he can come back. What everybody has to remember when you're getting worked up about Khan, this isn't the Wrath of Khan, because this is the first time we've seen Khan. In the original series, Space Seed was the first time we saw Khan, okay? The Wrath of Khan was after he was angry. So the next time Khan appears, that's going to be the Wrath of Khan, because he's going to be going directly after Kirk. And I think, and I do think it's going to happen at some point later on in the film series. I know that, you know, one of the biggest complaints is people wanted more original material. Well, what wasn't original about this? I mean, can you tell me what wasn't original? Because every bit of storyline was original. Everything about it.
I loved it. I honestly have no complaints about it. And, you know, there's something to be said for, I mean, it's done in science fiction all the time where we have these alternate histories where this is how it went down on this timeline. And this is, you know, as opposed to our timeline. So what's so different about this, you know? And as you said, the fact that they've defined Spock so well in this movie, you understand the guy now. You never understood the guy, really,
right,
all that much in the TV show. He was just this alien guy who had no feelings. But you knew he did, you know, but it was never really shown to you. Now, by the second movie, they've defined this character so well that, you know, he can be the star of the movie. You know, and this time I think he was. I don't think it was Kirk. I think it was Spock.
Yeah, I think that too. And I think that to me, when you're looking at just time constraint wise, you had 3 years of Star Trek before you got to the movies, and they formed their bond as best friends. You've had one film up until now. They haven't done the 5-year mission. The 5-year mission starts at the end of this film. So we have to interlock these two characters and make them friends. We have to do that in this film, and I think that this is the way that they did this kind of binds the two characters better than ever before, and they can build on that relationship. And the thing is with Khan, this is just my personal feeling, and I freely admit, those of you listening to the show, I freely admit that I've kind of had a burr up my butt about everybody complaining about all the summer movies and about, I get tired of it. It's too much like it. It's not enough like it. It's like, look, this, it is what it is. It's like, oh, well, this isn't like the books and therefore I don't like it. Well, yeah, if you have the books. If you want the books, read the books. This is a film, you know? I mean, there's, you know, I don't know. I just like panning a whole thing because of the scenes you didn't like. But here's the thing. I feel if we didn't have Khan in this film, no matter what you did, everybody would say, man, I can't wait till Khan shows up. Well, now he showed up. It's done. Okay, the movie's done. He's been there. He's done. We can bring him back later on if we want. But now we can focus on new things. And judging by this movie and the writing in it and the dialogue and everything, I can't wait till the next one. I'm like a fat kid at a buffet right now. I'm like, okay, this one's under my belt. Bring on the next one. I'm ready to go. You know, this is a good pie. I want some cake now. Come on, bring it on. You know, I cannot wait for the next film. And I feel that they did such a good job defining all these characters, Sulu, Chekhov, Pike. I'm sorry to see him go. You know, Carol needs a little more fleshing out, but you know, she, you know, did a really good job in it. You know, Scotty was fantastic in this movie. Carl Urban is the only person that I feel that, you know, he did a good job, but man, we need more for him to do. I want to see him more in action. I want to see more of his doctoring. I want more of his wisecracks. You know, I just want more of him.
Now, can you settle this for us, though? Have you now or have you ever been Carl Urban?
No, I would.
Because you do look like him.
I would have a lot more money if I was
him. Or he looks like you.
You know, okay, he did a good job. He did. I enjoyed him, and I enjoyed
the fact. Oh, I did too, yeah.
And I like the one thing that this always kind of bothered me, and I feel as though it was settled in this movie for me, was Spock and Uhura were hooked up, right? And you're like, well, mm-hmm. Isn't it kind of weird that you know, he's kind of emotionless and, you know, they have these, you know, that she has feelings for him. And when you have that bit in the ship, when they're in Mudd's ship and he's talking about, you know, why he's doing what he's doing, you realize that he does have feelings for her. I mean, I don't know if it's love, but it's definitely affection for her. And I think that does a pretty good job of outlining those characters. And I think that we're dealing with a Spock who although he deals in logic, can still have emotions and not be so emotionless and not. I mean, let's face it, with the original Trek, that was a great shtick, you know, to have a character who didn't show his emotions or whatever. But the reality is, it's better. I like this Spock a little bit better, where he can have some emotions. He doesn't get offended when you tell him he's half human. You know, he doesn't have to shut them off. He chooses to shut them off, but not because it's some kind of Vulcan training because he feels like you have to. It's because he wants to. You know, he doesn't want to have to deal with these certain feelings and emotions. And I thought they did a fantastic job. I tell you what, I can't wait to see this movie again. I have no idea how I'm going to fit it in my schedule, but I am dying to see it a second time. I just. You know, when I left, I enjoyed it. When he got to the Khan part where he yelled Khan, I enjoyed it a little bit less until it kind of clicked home why that worked so well. I mean, and it took a few minutes for it to hit home. And then the more I thought about it and the more I was seeing people's comments on it, the more I realized I like this movie more and more. Now, of the two movies, did I like the first one better? Yeah, because I think that the way that they tied the universes together was a absolutely brilliant piece of writing. Mm-hmm. And I can never, I mean, that nothing's ever going to take the place. The fact that we get to see Leonard Nimoy in this film, I had no idea he was going to be in this movie. I don't know if anybody did, you know, other than, you know, the cast and crew, but we get to see him and we had that whole bit with him. You know, we have this great moment where Spock is saying, have you ever come across Khan? And he was like, I don't want to tell you things because I don't want to alter your destiny, but I need to tell you this, that he will do anything. You know, he's a bad guy. You know, he's a bad seed. Don't mess around with him, you know. And then we see that bit aboard the ship where he's just messing everybody up and he takes Peter Weller and crushes his head. I'm like, okay, yeah, he got some anger issues maybe. I don't know. It's, you know. But just so many good moments in this film. So much action. It was like nonstop. And also the dress uniforms, I loved them. I loved the dress uniforms when they were down. I loved them. I loved the hats. I loved them. I mean, I dig the whole movie, everything that they've done here. I just really enjoy it. And this doesn't really work if we both like it. You know that? I got to find somebody who hates it and have it on so I can spar with them. There's no drama here.
Well, I did have two points where I was, you know, a little, you know, small minor complaints. And you mentioned one of them when Spock's down there going after him to get his blood, when they've got 71 other people or 72 other people. Why are they going after Spock's blood?
And I didn't understand that either.
Khan's blood.
Yeah.
But, you know, but, and the other thing that bothered me, and this is really stupid and minor, and I can't believe, and it's right that what they did, but when they said the 5-year mission to go where no person has gone before, it just didn't sound right to me. And I know it's proper and it's the way it should be, but it's just all these years I've been here and, you know, where no man has gone before, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And finally being able to deliver that, that's gotta be, you know, Chris Pine delivering that was pretty, I enjoyed that, you know, and, yeah. You know, but it is, you know, it is definitely a new Star Trek. And I know that, you know, the thing is, you know, one of the things that is a hot button topic for me, people are like, well, yeah, it's not my Star Trek. I'm not going to go watch it. I don't like it. But okay, well, then don't. Then stop bitching about it. Just don't go see it. You'll live in the past with what's there. I will take new Trek any day of the week and give it a shot and give it a try. You know, we are dealing with younger actors who can do the more physical roles desired, you know, in these movies. And I, it's not going to change. It's not. It's an alternate universe, man. It's not. It's like with the comics. You know, you're a big comic reader, and everybody complained about the new 52. Ah, it's not my 52. It's not my DC. Then don't read it. Your DC's still there. Okay, it's just that we're dealing with a reboot now. You know, and I figure by the end of next year, the old one's going to be back anyway. But you know, it just. You know, I still have the original series. I still have all those movies. I still have the same love for them that I always have.
Absolutely.
You know, I just love this as well, too. It was so well done. And the acting was all top notch. I was extremely happy with all the acting and the things that they did. I mean, some of the scenes with Kirk really, did a really good job. I mean, you know, all the actors did, but there were some scenes between him and Pike that were fantastic. Some of the scenes between him and Spock were fantastic. And the, I was going somewhere with that and I just completely lost my train of thought. I have no idea.
Well, but you were talking about, you know, all these reboots and everything, even with comics. And I can remember there was a time where that would have upset me, but after all these years in comic books now, and even in movies, all these years of things being rebooted, and then I get some really good stories out of it. I've gotten to the point where, and I just said this recently on to somebody else, you know, that it doesn't bother me anymore. As long as you take whatever you do, make it sensible, and give me a good story, that's my reward for, you know, putting up with your changes. It just doesn't bother me. I don't know. I guess, you know.
Well, here's the thing is the people that want the original Trek, well, how are you going to do that? Half the actors are dead. Yeah. The other ones aren't interested in doing. They couldn't afford to pay William Shatner to it's probably $1 billion to get him to portray Kirk. And what's he going to do? I mean, I'm not being mean, but he's old. He's too old to do any kind of physical role.
Yeah.
You know, you were able to do the political intrigue in the last, you know, movie that the original cast was in, and that worked real well. But let's face it, a lot of the action scenes on the planet were kind of cheesy because it just didn't work for me, you know. And, you know, even with the TNG cast, you have, Patrick Stewart even said that if they were going to do one, and this was years ago, he's like, I need to do it real quick because the cast is getting too old to be able to do this.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is it's, you know, any way you look at it, you're dealing with an action type role. And so even if you recast it, everybody would bitch about whoever was recast. So this way we just reboot the entire thing, you know. I mean, you know, I'd love to have another Star Trek TV series. I mean, I love Star Trek, and I know that I'm odd man out in a lot of this stuff. Like, you know, like I love original series and then DS9 and then TNG and then both Voyager and Enterprise. I like Enterprise a little bit more than Voyager, but I still like it all, you know. And I'm the one that, you know, when I watched Enterprise to me was a lot better before they started serializing it in the last couple seasons. And those are the seasons everybody else likes. I like the ones before that when they were just the one-off episodes. It reminds me of the original series, you know. But, you know, with this, I don't know if we're ever going to get another series anytime soon because the movies are making too much money. I mean, even now I'm looking at the box office. I was reading an article and they're saying that, yeah, it's doing a really good job at the box office and the darkness is, but it is not as it's not as hot as they thought it was going to be. And it's just like, well, yeah, I mean, okay, but it made money, right? I mean, it's still, there's no reason that, you know, and again, I think that part of that might have to do with mixing everything up. You know, again, you're trying to make everybody happy in this movie. You're trying to bring Khan back because everybody wanted Khan. You're trying to tie it into the original universe with Khan and these characters. At the same point in time, you're trying to roll this out for a new batch of fans. And, you know, I don't know if there's a way to win with that. You know, I thought the first movie did a really good job of bringing everything together. But I think after this movie, everything should be a clean slate. You know, I'd love to have Khan come back in a couple films. You know, a couple films from now, have him come back and, you know, see what happens. You know, have somebody go in and unfreeze everybody and have him do what he... I mean, because you saw what he did by himself. Can you imagine with 80 people what he'd be able to do? I mean, he'd be able to take over the freaking planet, you know? But it is just... It's just some of the complaints that I've been hearing they haven't been well thought out. They've just, I mean, not that the people weren't well thought, but the complaints, the way that they stated them weren't well thought out. They didn't explain to me what they didn't like about it, you know? And part of that is because you're using social media and you don't want to spoil the movie for anybody. Cause like I said, I really enjoyed going in and having no idea. It wasn't until he said his name was Khan that I even remotely thought he was Khan, because it didn't really matter. It didn't matter if he was Khan or not. It didn't matter if we knew that name. He could have been, you know, Bob Smith. It didn't matter to me. The point is right. He was the enemy. You know what I mean? The only reason he needed that tie was so that when he contacted the, you know, the original Spock, they could have that conversation where he's like, you know, this guy's a bad guy. You know, don't let him, you know, do anything, you know?
Yeah.
And that was a good moment too, because up until then you're starting to slowly trust him, because him and Kirk kind of had the same objective. And mm-hmm. then we have that conversation and they get on that warship and Khan just kind of goes a little berserk. And of course the way they defeat him was brilliant. You know, beaming all the torpedoes over and, having them, you know, all loaded. But man, I love the action scene between Spock and him at the end mm-hmm. when he was chasing him. I mean, I love the visuals. I love the way that they filmed that. I love seeing him and Spock running through the city in that. I can only imagine how, I mean, it had to be kind of tough for the camera guy to get all that, but I just enjoyed all of that. That was just so good. You know, we had the, you know, and it's funny because when you think about the two, I mean, there's multiple action scenes, but when you think about the two action scenes where like Kirk and Spock are kind of by themselves, you have the first one with Kirk when he's the first time he meets Khan, he's blowing up the building and Kirk does this thing with the fire hose and gets the fire hose in the engine of the ship. Right. And so mm-hmm. he's not really using, I mean, he's not using his brawn, so to speak, you know. And then you have Spock, who's using his brawn when they're fighting, and it should be flipped, you know. It should be Kirk going crazy trying to beat the crap out of him, and Spock using his brains when he's trying to bring down that ship in the beginning. I thought that was a nice switch. You know, again, like, all these little things occur to me. And apparently I must watch too much Star Trek, because I had no idea that all this stuff would click home. But it wasn't until, like, last night I got home, and I was still kind of glowing a little bit from seeing the movie, and my wife thinks I'm crazy, but man, I love this movie. I mean, I can't, like I said, we had Iron Man 3, which I love, don't get me wrong, but I've been waiting for Star Trek since the last one. I could not wait to see what they were going to do. I just like what they did so much the first time around. And then, of course, the other movie I'm waiting for is Man of Steel, because I've been waiting for a good Superman movie since Superman 2. You know, I've been waiting for another one too. And it looks like they're just kind of veering completely away from all the stuff that they've done a million times over and maybe digging a little deeper. And I'm sure, I can guarantee you right now, I don't care how good that movie is, people are going to complain about it, you know. And it looks like it's going to be really good. It looks like it's going to have some top-notch acting and be really good. But people are going to be complaining, saying, why isn't it like the comic book? Well, technically it is, because there's how many issues of Superman? A couple thousand?
Yeah.
You know, and yeah. I'm sure that all these elements of the story that's in there is going to be brought into that. But anyhow, so do you have any thoughts yourself on Trek besides the two that you voiced? I mean, anything that you know, you wanted to comment on since mostly I've been doing all the talking?
No, that's fine. I mean, you know, I kind of when you said you wanted to record, I thought I'd be your sounding board. You're right. You probably would have been better going up against somebody, but I don't know. I just went to the theater. I mean, it was just a last minute thing. I was definitely going to get the movie when it came out on DVD, but these days I don't go to the theater much. But you know, the gang from work wanted to go, and I said, yeah, okay, I'll go along. And I was a little disappointed that we didn't go see the 3D version, but then you explained to me that it wasn't actually made in 3D.
Yeah, from what I've read, it wasn't made using the special cameras or anything.
Right.
But I have heard a couple people say that they enjoyed the 3D version. But for me, I don't know, unless you're really going to – and I tend to think when you're going to do a 3D movie, you have to have all the little gimmicks. And if that's what you're doing, then it's not going to make the movie very good. By the way, you can pre-order Star Trek Into Darkness on Amazon for $25.
Wow.
Yeah, it comes with the Blu-ray 3D plus the Blu-ray plus the DVD plus digital copy. Oh, I don't think that there's... Of course, there's the one that I want, the Star Trek Into Darkness Starfleet Phaser Limited Edition gift set, Blu-ray 3D combo pack. It's $80. I was looking at this phaser last night. Oh, here's the Blu-ray DVD digital copy for $20. It doesn't tell you when it's going to ship. It's just saying it's available for pre-order. But I really want the phaser. I was looking at some of the replicas last night, and this thing is pretty sweet. It's got magnets in it so you can spin the barrels. I'm thinking it over, dude. I've changed my – I told you I was changing my collector mentality. I mean, I have a lot of DVDs and things like that, but I've been changing my collector mentality to getting more expensive prop type things that will let me accumulate more slowly because I don't have that much money. So
right, because yeah, totally makes sense.
I kind of want this, and I kind of want the. I was telling you, I want the Hot Toys Iron Man or War Machine, and those things are kind of pricey. But man, I really want one of those. I'm kind of hoping when we go on vacation today, I can find one somewhere because I'm going to buy without a second thought if it's on. If I find it there, it's meant to be, right?
Right.
Yeah. See.
But now back to the movie. My whole take on this thing is that the producers of the movie respect the Star Trek audience. And they said, if we throw at them a whole new brand, you know, reboot and everything, they're going to be upset. But what if this turns out to be an alternate universe, you know, same right. things happen, everything. Now we're not going to offend anybody. I think they were trying to appease those people that are yelling, that are still upset and yelling about this. And I think that was a wise move. I think it was a very kind move, you know, that gives these people, okay, well, it's not like the original, but it's different. But, you know, and the TV show, yes, the TV show was a little bit more of a thinking man's thing. You know, the scripts were written so that people, you had to put a little thought into things. And although the messages, you know, now you look back at them and the messages are really kind of simple, but you know, I mean,
what's funny about the messages, you still have the same problems today that they were talking about back then. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And the fact that, you know, the characterization is so much deeper in this than it was in the original show. I don't understand why somebody that's a fan, and they're just solid action. Both these movies, I rewatched, knowing I was going on Sunday, I rewatched the original movie on Saturday. And, you know, when I got done, I mean, I was exhausted. You know, it's those movies that's like boom, 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 boom. You know, I don't know how you, I mean, it's got to be later on that you start thinking of things that are wrong, because while you're watching the movie, you don't have time.
Right, and that's the whole thing. I mean, that's why it didn't occur to me afterwards. I'm like, you know, there were little bits and pieces here and there that I thought I didn't enjoy, but when I thought about it, I was like, man, that does make perfect sense. And the thing that I think that a lot of people were forgetting is that we don't have the 5-year mission up until this point. We haven't had that yet. So the bond between Kirk and Spock has not really been formed. I mean, yeah, they had that first movie together and they had their moments, but it wasn't until, you know, we get to the second film when they're talking and we have these other moments. But it wasn't, if Kirk hadn't tried to save Spock in the volcano and they hadn't gotten a big argument about that, and he hadn't said, you know, look, you know, basically you stabbed me in the back because I saved your life. And Spock was like, yeah, well, you didn't need to, you know, I was prepared to die, blah, 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 blah. And if we didn't have all of that, you know, slowly building up to this, it's like there's not a bond. There's the only reason that there should be a bond between these characters at this point is because the other Spock told this Spock, hey, you know, we're best friends basically in my universe.
Exactly.
And so, you know, that's kind of opened Spock up a little bit to being a little more receptive to Kirk, but nobody's told Kirk that. And so it's a matter of, you know, they have to build that bond, and having this scene where Kirk sacrifices himself for the ship and Spock realizes it, and you know, things like that. That has to be, you have to plant that seed in order for it to grow, and for these two guys to, because there's no reason for them to be friends. You know what I mean? There's
right.
not interconnected like they were, you know, in the other universe. And you know, that's why, you know, and even I say, you know, that when I'm talking to people about Star Trek, I'm like, the Star Trek reboot, but technically it's the alternate universe is what it is, because this is what would have happened in this universe.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, what kills me is that you have in Deep Space Nine and original series, you have the Mirror Universe. Everybody loves those episodes of the Mirror Universe. I'm like, well, why are you hating on this film if, you know, you have this other one? I mean, and I can't say hating on, because I know some people were just like, you know, yeah, it was good. It was a good movie, but it wasn't Star Trek. Or, you know, it was a good movie, but, you know, I missed the original. Or, you know, I wish they wouldn't have put the Khan stuff in there. And it's like, well, as far as I'm concerned, I don't think that they really had a choice, because I think the idea is, I don't know, at least if it was me doing the movie, it'd be get the Khan stuff out of the way, because Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan is the best of the movies. It's the one everybody knows.
Yes, absolutely.
And, And they were always asking, when are we going to have Khan? When are we going to have Khan? I can't wait to see a movie with Khan. Let's get it out of the way. And it's done. Yeah. Then we can focus on having something different, something bigger. You know, I don't know, you know, as far as everything around the movies is concerned, they are great. But like, if you're doing a third film, like everything in the movie, I enjoy all the the interaction, everything. But it's like you're going to have a bad guy for them to go to. So I don't know what they're going to do for a third film. They have to. You can't be somebody generic. It's got to be something big. You know, maybe the Klingons or something like that. Something big. But
they're headed into the war. I mean, that was outlined already.
Yeah. And so I'm kind of hoping that we get to see some of that, and but it's just the way that they did everything, the acting, the scenes. I really, without seeing it a second time, I really can't find anything to nitpick apart about what did and didn't work. I felt that it all worked. The only thing as far as I'm concerned, when they were talking about his crew, you know, his family, they were all genetically enhanced as well. So why couldn't they use their blood? That's the part I didn't understand.
Yeah.
You know, why they had to have Khan's blood. Was just convenient because he was already up and around.
And here's one more point, and maybe this is just me. Growing up when I did, there was science fiction was looked down upon. So the people that enjoyed science fiction were very touchy about sci-fi. And I'm quoting here, I'm doing air quotes. Sci-fi was not proper science fiction. It was cheap. It was schlocky. And you know me, Aaron, you know that I still wrestle with that whole thing.
Yeah.
But here we actually have what I would call science fiction. We have, it's a good, solid science fiction story. It's got excellent characterizations. It's got a plot that doesn't stop. I mean, the movie just plunges forward so fast at a breakneck speed. I mean, what else? I don't get it. I mean, I don't know why somebody would not like it. You know, that's their thing. I mean, I've been there. I've been that person. I'm starting to slowly come out of that sci-fi person, you know, that I used to be, or that sci-fi hater that I used to be. But it's tough. I mean, I'm watching old episodes of Doctor Who. I mean, the really old episodes of Doctor Who, and I'm enjoying them. So I'm getting better, you know.
You know, it's funny. Is like you watch the old episodes of Doctor Who, and then you watch the new stuff, and you know, yeah, the production values and what they're able to do with the new stuff is much more visually appealing. But my God, the stories in the original one, in the older ones, are so much better. I mean, they make more sense with what they're doing. I just find I'm a little disenchanted with the current season of Doctor Who. I think that, I don't know, I find it kind of boring. And I'm not the only one. I got a lot of hardcore Doctor Who fans who are not loving the current season. I'm not sure what it is about it. But it just goes to show you that they since they didn't have a whole lot of money to rely on for, you know, big explosions and things like that, they had to really bring it when it came time to tell a story. You know, they had to really hit you with something solid there, and you can use your imagination for all the creatures and things like that, you know.
Well, I just watched the first of the third Doctor. I think it was the third Doctor, and it's in color. And the first thing they do is they establish that something's gone wrong with the TARDIS. So now basically the Doctor for the time being is trapped on Earth and he's working with UNIT. Now, I don't know if we've met UNIT before this or not. I don't think so either. But I love the fact that they said, look, we don't have a budget to do all this space stuff. So let's do it on Earth. And how are we going to do that? You know, and they came up with a plausible reason, you know, which and I think in the first movie of Star Trek, getting back to that, I think they came up with a plausible explanation of what was going on. And I think it makes it gives you an excuse to like it, even though you love the original.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, and I have to say something, too, for those people out there who have never read the comics. I'm not talking about the ongoing series, although the IDW has a sale on Comixology all the time. I bought the first four trades. I think I paid $4 for each trade. I mean, that's a heck of a good deal. But the prequel comics, there was four issues for each movie, and I read the four issues for the first movie, and it really did kind of enhance the film for me. And the second one, it gives you some a little bit information. I'm not sure how much enhancing it does, but it gives you some information, and there is a discussion about the Prime Directive and things of that nature, and it kind of brings the Klingons into a little bit and kind of shows the tensions are kind of high between the Federation and the Klingons. In my opinion, the first movie, the prequel comics to the first movie, added a lot more. The ones for this movie added a little bit, but it wasn't as great as the first time around. But I recommend the comics for that. And again, I haven't, I bought the first three trades probably 6 months ago when IDW had a sale. And they just had a sale yesterday or the day before, and I bought the fourth one. And I think I've read three panels because I just have that much crap to read, and I just haven't gotten around to it. But I really want to dive into them because I've read some of the other IDW stuff over the years, and I really enjoyed what they've done. And the Star Trek universe is so rich. And now that we have this second universe, we can deal with things and do things that we couldn't do before, that's kind of exciting. I mean, I would love to see a series of this with this crew, this group, let's make another series in this universe, a television series, and let's see what we can do with it. It just seems that there's so much there you can do that hasn't been touched on before, and the way that they have developed the relationships is different enough that there's more things that you would be able to do that you couldn't do in the first time around, that I would really enjoy seeing, a show like this doesn't really work unless you have points to debate, and we don't really have much of a debate. We kind of agreed on everything, the only problem we really had was the whole deal with the cryogenically frozen people, and I don't understand that, but why they couldn't use them. But maybe it's because they had to thaw one out or something. I don't know why they couldn't use them, because they were supposed to be genetically enhanced as well.
Right. Well, maybe you'll stumble upon somebody that has an alternate view on the whole thing.
Well, anyway, you look at it, I welcome feedback from anybody out there. I mean, let me know your thoughts and feelings. But if you don't like it, explain to me why you don't like it. I mean, I guess that's my biggest complaint. And I understand that a lot of that is like on social media, and people don't want to spoil the film. And I can appreciate that. But I'm just kind of riding all the hate for Iron Man 3. Everybody complaining about that. And I just don't understand what it is that they want. They're like, it wasn't like the books, or it's too much like the books, or this wasn't like this in the books. And it's like, yeah, that's because that's the book. This is a movie, completely different thing, whole different universe. Yeah. Deal with it. This is what it is. And with Iron Man 3, it was a trilogy. You look at it like, yeah, if you look at it as a trilogy, it all makes sense. I know there's going to be more, but you look at those first three films as a trilogy, and it works, except for the fact that they reference the Avengers, which wouldn't fit into the trilogy. Other than that, it does make sense, and I really enjoyed it, and I don't understand why there's just so much vitriol for it. I can understand not liking a movie, but some people have just been downright hateful of it, and I'm like, I don't understand, what is it you don't like, But
I would enjoy hearing an explanation, because, I mean, like I said, I've been there. I mean, years and years ago, I used to be like, oh, no, that's not like the original. Oh, heavens, and you really had to go out of your way to explain, and the comic book writers in the late 70s, early 80s did go out of their way to explain how all this stuff in the past kind of comes together and all that. And I'm dealing with comic books there, but I mean, the same thing could be said with today's movies or a movie like this. You may have some good, valid reasons. I'd love to hear them, and I may end up saying, oh yeah, I guess you're right. But
yeah, that's what I want. I guess part of it just is a matter of, I don't understand. Mm-hmm. And if you can explain it to me, what it is, people are like, it's crap. Okay. Okay, let's go with that. Why is it crap? Well, because I didn't like it. Well, then it's not crap. You just didn't like it. You know what I mean? You have to explain to me why you didn't like it, because I look forward to hearing and trying to see things from your point of view and understanding what it is you didn't like about it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like the first one, everybody bitched about all the lens flare. Oh, so many lens flares. Yeah, it was kind of annoying, but you know what? That's just the style that they were filming it in, and they were just kind of trying to show everything nice and shiny, I think, was the whole point behind that. But yeah, that was kind of annoying, but my God, it didn't ruin the film for me. I mean, it was like, it was kind of annoying. I just kind of ignored it. You know what I mean?
Well, it's like the first new Batman, it bothered me because I never saw him fight. He would just appear out of nowhere, boom. And it was there, I couldn't see what was going on. It was kind of, but I love the movie. It's just that I had that one little thing that I didn't like about it. You know, Superman, the old original Superman. The only thing that bothers me is that scene in the diner when he wimps out and, you know, those guys beat him up and he gets all wimpy and everything. That's not the guy. That's not the Superman character that I know. So that to me was a big flaw in the movie.
That's why you got to see that. Have you ever seen a Donner cut?
Wasn't it the same?
Bruce, you got to get the Donner cut.
I'll get the Donner cut.
If they fix that for me,
I would be extremely happy because I like the first and second. Okay.
Just so you know, with the Donner cut, that whole deal with him flying around the Earth, that's the ending of Superman 2 the way it was supposed to be. That's why Lois forgot who he was.
Oh.
Spoiler for a 30-some-year-old movie. And that was the whole thing, is that he didn't want to use that at the end of the first movie. He wanted to use that at the end of the second movie, and then it all makes sense rather than having the super kiss that took away her memory, you know, or whatever. And the thing is when you also in the Donner cut, the biggest thing is you remember in Superman 2 where he kind of it's kind of revealed that he's Superman because he trips and his hand falls in the fireplace in Niagara Falls.
Yes.
Okay, I always hated that scene. I hate it. I thought that he was taking his clumsy Clark to like the nth level, and I thought that it just was stupid. I never liked that scene. I didn't think it worked real well. Well, in a Donner cut, they have a completely different scene, and it's weird because the only way that they could have that scene was they had a test screen or test filming of the scene, and they inserted that in there to show how she finds out, and it makes better sense. But it's kind of funny because he looks a lot skinnier in that scene, you know, and obviously his hair and stuff don't quite match, but they did a good job with that, showing how that would work, and it just worked a lot better for me. I can't believe you don't have the Donner cut, dude.
It seems to me I'd seen it, but you're telling me that diner scene is different in the Donner cut.
Wow, I cannot remember. The entire movie is different than Donner cut. There's a lot of different things in there. It's well worth your time to watch it.
Yeah, definitely.
And I know that some people hate. I mean, I love Superman 2, don't get me wrong. And like the only thing that I had issue with was the super kiss. And I don't necessarily agree that took away her memory. Maybe I'm remembering it wrong, but I don't necessarily think that's what happened. But I don't have a problem with him pulling the big cellophane S off and throwing the bad guys. I'm like, whatever. You know, you read enough Superman comics. He's got enough gadgets and stuff, you know, just like anybody else. You know, like Batman, he's got a bunch of gadgets that he uses as well. But just the acting and the way that the story worked better for me in the Donner cut. I know some people like the other one, the original one, better. Well, technically, the Donner cut would be the original one. But for me, the day the Donner cut came out, I went and bought it and I watched it. And I can see both points of view because there's some things in the Donner cut that don't quite work. And I'm not sure if that's because they didn't have the film to make it work, the footage they needed. But overall, I kind of look at Superman 2 as a meshing of the both. I remember the stuff that I like and just disregard the stuff I don't like. And it all works in my head. And that's all that matters. It works in my head.
Bringing that back to Star Trek. Now, the very first Star Trek movie, I read an article about that, and there was a deadline. They had to have it out to the theaters. They had to have the prints out to the theaters at a certain point, and they had done a cut, but it wasn't the final cut of the movie, but they didn't have time to do a final cut. So that's why that movie drags on all the time, because they hadn't gotten in there and done all these final cuts. And somebody online, there's this whole thing online where you can get these movies that are fan edited, and somebody edited that movie down considerably. I mean, you know, the whole going around the ship doesn't take 15 minutes; it takes, you know, 30 seconds or something. You know, all these scenes were just cut down and real concise and everything, and it worked really well. And I'm thinking, why don't they just go back and re-edit that film and call it the director's cut? You know, because it would be such a so much better movie. It's horrible now.
The thing is actually of all the Star Trek movies, I mean, Khan obviously 2 is my favorite.
Yeah.
For a lot of different reasons, because they finally got a universal way for everything. Like the Starfleet was outlined, the uniforms were outlined. I mean, everybody was the same. But I love the story in the first one. I love the whole V'ger thing and everything. But man, it does slow down. But the scenes around the Enterprise, a lot of that was because they were trying to compete with Star Wars and try to get all that visuals in there.
Right.
But oh my God, it was like, do we need to see 15 minutes of Enterprise? Yeah, it's cool. We know. It's beautiful. Yeah. Take a picture. Send it to me. In the meantime, can we move this thing forward a little bit, you know?
Exactly.
But all the other things in there, except for the uniforms. Didn't like the uniforms in the first one. They were really bizarre. But I really, even like when Spock was going down to V'ger in the first one, we had too much footage of him flying around. It's like, let's just get there, man. I mean, yeah. Why is it so slow? And I saw it as a kid, and I loved it. Don't get me wrong, because it was science fiction, and there was a movie, and I could go see it. But, man, I watched that, and that was the only one I didn't have on DVD. That one, I don't have four. I know everybody loves Star Trek IV with the whales. Not my favorite Star Trek. The only one I don't own. Somebody sent me a copy of one. I think it was Shane sent me a copy of the first one. And so I have it in my collection. But I love all the films. Actually, I do have the whale one because I bought the Blu-ray set. It was on sale one time for like $30 for all the original movies, all six of them. And I'm like, I couldn't pass that up. Although, if it's on sale and you want to pick it up, great. But the DVD double disc releases actually have more material on them and look just as good, if not better, than the Blu-rays. A lot of the Blu-rays look crappy. There's a lot of good mixed in with the bad, but we all, you know, like Trek. But the thing is, I think with this movie, since we are in a new universe, what people were referring to as a reboot of Star Trek, I think that's part of the problem. It's like, if there's any little thing, they jump all over it because they don't want their Trek to be replaced. And it's just a matter of what's not replaced. It's still there. Everything that happened in that universe still happened in that universe. Everything that will happen in that universe will still happen in that universe.
Right.
Okay. We're dealing with a whole other universe now. You know, and I don't understand why people can't grasp that. It's the same thing, like I said, with comics and stuff like that. I mean, yeah, you could tell me a bad story, but I can't be like, well, now it's all ruined, you know, because It doesn't really work that way. It's not ruined, you know, it's okay. You know, it's still there. It's just think, I mean, you know, different doesn't mean bad. It just means different, you know, Embrace it for what it is, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, I mean, like I said, I like this and, you know, we're if nothing else, we know that Hollywood likes to remake everything all the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, but sometimes it's winning, you know, look at Dredd. I mean, Dredd is a fantastic movie compared to, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love the Sylvester Stallone one. There's scenes in that movie that I think are great, but the Dredd movie was just amazing, you know, and it just didn't do very good over here because I don't think anybody understands who or what he is.
Mm. Yeah, I'm one of those that loves the original. My kids and I used to pop that in every once in a while. And when we started hearing that people hated it, we all kind of looked at each other like, what? That's a good movie, you know? Yeah, right. Sylvester Stallone hams it up a little bit, but that's okay. I don't care.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and then you have like the Conan reboot. I mean, what a disaster that was. It wasn't that, I mean, to me, it was just, I mean, you had the elements in there that made him Conan, but the character had no heart. I mean, they didn't spend enough time developing the character. They had all the great fight scenes. They had, you know, a great looking actor, but there was no heart to the film. And if you don't develop the character, why do I care?
Yeah.
You know, and I think that they've done a really good job in the two Trek films of developing this character. And I think Star Trek II is In the Darkness. I think that, man, and that means so much, the In the Darkness line for all the characters, what they're looking at, what's happening, what they're seeing. You know, Kirk experiencing the loss of Pike, who was like a father to him, experiencing, you know, the loss of his ship, experiencing the loss that he might lose his crew. He lost his command, you know, all these bad things happening to him, helping him grow and have a better understanding as a captain. And you have Spock, who's still dealing with the loss of his planet. And then he loses his friend. And, you know, all these things happening. It was just a powerful movie. I think it was just, I mean, I can't wait to have this thing on Blu-ray so I can watch it 100 times in a row. You know, mm-hmm. I just loved it so much.
Yeah. Yep. That and the first one, you know, I could probably sit down and watch the first one all over again. And I just watched it Saturday. So.
Yeah. That's funny. Cause I think I just watched it on Friday. Because I wanted to prep, and I'm like, I'm going to go. I have time. I'm going to go ahead. Because I have a million DVDs in here. I'm like, nope, I'm going to watch this. I'm going to sit down and watch this. I haven't read the IDW comics other than the prequel ones for the movie. And I'm curious as to what the missions are in there, like what they're doing. And maybe, but you know, you can't, unfortunately, you know, you can't really canon the comics, you know, which is both good and bad. But as far as the film's concerned, I mean, we really see that relationship start to to really firm up in this movie, and that's what's going to connect these characters. And you didn't have that, and that was my – it wasn't a complaint of the first movie with me. It was just a, man, when are we going to – you know, because they did a good job. They weren't besties, you know, and I'm like, they shouldn't be because they don't know each other. And it's like, when are they going to get the opportunity to do that, to be able to go and interact and realize that they can rely and trust each other. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's like as bad as people don't like Star Trek V. You people don't like, that's a great movie. Anyway, people who didn't like Star Trek V, the thing is you have the one thing, if you don't like it, I love it. But if you don't like it, okay, just say you didn't like it because, well, you don't know any better and don't understand the brilliance that is Star Trek V. But the one thing you could take away from that movie, and it's always kind of stuck in my head, was when Kirk talks about how he's always known he's going to die alone, and we have that scene at the end where the bird of prey comes up over the sands behind him and blows away, you know, the enemy, and you know, and he gets beamed up and he realized that, you know, he's like, I thought I was going to die, and Spock was like, well, you couldn't die. He's like, why? He's like, because you were never alone, and it's like a one-off line, but man, that is basically what their relationship has been, you know, mm-hmm. because they're married to Starfleet, they're married to the ship, and you know, and so Kirk and Spock, I mean, they've always had that bond, and mm-hmm. you didn't have that forming in the first film of the new universe, and we needed something, and mm-hmm. I think we got it with this one. I really do.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, by the end of the first one, you could see that they respected each other, but didn't quite understand. But now I think it's gone, you know, to the point where, okay, not only do I respect you, but I kind of understand you now, too.
Yeah, and I think that was the big thing. It's like, you know, you had to have, like, you know, Spock just didn't understand, you know, like, why Kirk would lie about was lying on his report, and he didn't understand when he was so mad at him, because he's like, well, you stabbed me in the back. And he's like, well, how did I? You know, he didn't understand. And now, you know, because of this, you know, what's going on, he grasped that understanding and that humanity that is behind that, you know. So, the Donner Cut is available on Netflix, but not for streaming. But you can buy it on Amazon for $2 used.
No, I'll have to check it out.
Or $11.25 new. I'm sure the used ones probably has some shipping attached to it, but... Yeah, it's like $4 shipping. So you can actually, I think you can get a Prime version for that price mm-hmm. if you look around. But I highly recommend the Donner Cut to at least view it, you know, and check that out. But anyway, we're at around an hour. I think we've kind of discussed this, and I look forward to any kind of feedback. You know, send me MP3s. I'll read emails. I'm really bad at it, but I'll do it. Send me MP3s, whatever. Call the comment line. I think you only have 3 minutes on the comment line now. But if you want to call the comment line and you get cut off, just keep calling back, and I'll edit it all together. Okay, so whatever makes it easy for all of you out there. But I'm curious as to see what you think. I mean, I know a lot of people are Star Trek fans. I know a lot of other podcasts have been talking about this, and I haven't. And I don't usually do any kind of movie review this quickly after the movie has come out. But man, I just, like I said, I was laying there last night, and the more I thought about it, the more I thought, because the thing that bothered me most, and I know it bothered a lot of people, was when I say it bothered me, it's not like, oh my God, I can't believe that happened. It was just like, why is he yelling Khan? I mean, why did they have to put that in there? Because that's just such a well-known Star Trek trope, you know, to do that. And it wasn't until, you know, I was like, okay, and then we moved to the next scene, and I just kind of forgot about it. And it wasn't until I was driving home, and I was thinking about it, and I was like, it's because he was so emotional. It's because, you know, he had a tear, and he was getting emotional because Kirk had sacrificed himself, and he had just realized, because Spock was understanding now why Kirk couldn't let him die. You know, and it all kind of hammered him at one time, and the anger, that's what he did. And then it all makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Well, you know, and they show you that in the first one. He does eventually lose his temper.
Yeah,
you know, when,
yeah.
When those kids are picking on him, because they say the right thing. Well, in this case, it was the right the thing happened, and that's what set him off. And I know what you mean. I mean, but sometimes little things, bother you, but I mean, does it ruin the whole movie for you? You know, I mean, just the other day, somebody was complaining about I can't think the Aliens prequel.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet.
Okay,
it's on my list.
Someone was complaining about, oh, it was terrible, it was horrible, and I responded and I said, yeah. Not to the person that was complaining, somebody that was saying, gee, they didn't understand why people were complaining. And I said, yeah, I said, I thought it was a great movie. You know, yes, I understand that it's a little confusing how it ties into Aliens, and maybe that's what they're upset about. And some guy, oh, it's terrible. And here's the reason why. And he puts a clip. And what it is it's a YouTube clip with 200 things that are wrong with the movie. And they were such nitpicking, stupid things. Like the one was, The guy flips off somebody, but it's a two-finger flip-off instead of our current-day one finger. Oh, in the future they do a two-finger flip-off instead of one? Oh, how original. And it was all stuff like that. And I thought, this is just stupid. And I wrote back and I said, I don't think that was a very good argument, actually. And then the guy starts attacking me, you know.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I just – I basically said – I didn't say get a life. I said it nicely. I said, I hope you have a good life, but I don't want to argue with you anymore, you know. But I didn't understand, you know.
Yeah, and like there are people that I know. Like I have friends of mine who watch movies, and it seems as though they don't like anything. But the fact of the matter is they enjoy nitpicking them apart. And that's kind of a different thing because you talk to them like, yeah, I'm watching this again or I'm watching this again. It's just like, if I remember correctly, you hated that movie. But so obviously they didn't, you know.
Yeah.
With Star Trek, I guess my problem is with people nitpicking over or not liking parts of the second film. It's because the comparison that they're making to the first franchise, you know, the original universe, mm-hmm. that is a bit of an issue because you have to realize that this is not that universe that you know. They haven't developed that relationship yet. And part of the point of doing this show isn't to sit there and say, you know, you're wrong. Part of the reason for doing this show is one, to get the idea, to get the feelings out of my brain. The other is because I think the movie worked, everything that they did worked so well as far as the character development was concerned that I don't want people to get bogged down trying to make the comparison to the original universe and just relax and watch this movie for what it is. And I think once they do that, once they loosen up a little bit, they'll realize how well put together it is and how much sense the whole thing makes. You know what I mean? Right. And I don't want somebody to lose out on that because they were so making the comparison. The con, blah, 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 blah. It's like, yes, I understand that, but forget that for a minute. What happens if you've never seen that? What happens if you never saw Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan? Mm-hmm. And, you know, and now you're watching this and it's fresh eyes and imagine, and try to look at it from that point of view. I don't want you to miss out on something that was so well done, you know, but you know, it just to each their own, you know?
And as I've said, I guess I kind of used to be that person, you know. I used to be real nitpicky about everything, but when you just relax and you enjoy it for what it is, you know, it makes a whole lot of difference.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It makes it when you just kind of shut everything else down and think about it. It's like when you're trying to watch something and you're comparing it. You know, I guess the best comparison for me is like The Hunger Games. You know, my daughter and I, we love the books, and we went to see the movie. We went to a midnight premiere. You know, we wore matching T-shirts. It was an event. You know, I enjoyed that part of it. The movie I liked. I didn't love it. I didn't love it because there were so many important elements of the book that I felt that they removed it. I felt as though they dumbed the movie down. Did that make the movie bad? No. Compared to the books, yes. Okay, and that's what I'm trying to say. It's like, you know, when you compare it to something else, but if you just try to look at it for what it is, then you enjoy it. You know, like my favorite thing with The Hunger Games is people that say, oh, you know, it's a ripoff of whatever that Asian movie is. Everybody's screaming right now what it is, and I can't think of it.
What you mean? I can't think of it either.
Oh, my God, why can I not think of that? And they're like, oh, yeah, it's a ripoff of that. I was like, no, it's not even remotely. I mean, there is nothing. The movie has nothing in common with that, and people that say that, I would love to debate you about that. Well, there's kids in the movie. Well, the kids in The Hunger Games are much younger than the kids in that other movie. And Hunger Games is all about political power and nothing to do with chopping each other's heads off. I mean, that is what the books are about. It's about political power. The movie has changed that because rather than trying to, in the books, the way they do it so that it's very kind of behind the scenes. In the movie, they grab you by the hand, lead you to it, and shove your face in it because you're too stupid to figure it out on your own. And that's what I don't like. I feel as though my intelligence is being insulted because I couldn't figure that out on my own. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's one of the things I don't like about it, you know. But that being said, you know, they've only had one movie. There's going to be three movies, and I can't wait to see the second one where my daughter and I are already excited for it. And I hope that it's good. And it, looking from the previews, looks as though they're doing the same thing as far as, like, saying, look, we need you to look right here and see what's happening because you'll never figure this out on your own because you're too stupid. And then I say, okay, this movie is obviously made for a much younger crowd, and I try to look at it from their point of view. Maybe they've never seen a movie like this. Maybe they've never seen a movie like V for Vendetta or something like that that deals with, or the very first Death Race, you know, which, again, political power, you know. Maybe they haven't seen these movies that are setting this up so that you understand what's happening behind the scenes. It's not about the people that are doing the work. It's about the people behind the scenes pushing the paper. And that's what the film is actually – or that's what the story is supposed to be about. But it's not what the film is about. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And but I do see your point about sometimes having to dumb things down, especially when you're dealing with science fiction. I've thought that for years. You know, for years and years I thought, my God, why are they dumbing this down? But because – you and I, as science fiction readers, and everybody that's probably listening, we understand certain things about science fiction. We understand how certain things work because it's been presented to us innumerable times, you know. But people that don't know those simple little rules, it's going to be more difficult, and it has to be explained to them.
Right. Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I mean, when I look at something for younger kids, I'm like, well, they haven't seen this, so this will be like their eye opener. This will be like the first time that we saw that, you know, and so we have a better understanding of it. It's always somebody's first time at experiencing, you know, some sort of, you know, trope in fiction, you know. And so with that being said, you know, you have to kind of have that open mind with that, you know what I mean? But anyway, I'm going to call this episode done, and I will be I'll post this. This will be the next Sci-Fi Dig I post if I can get the editing done this week, and because I want to kind of get this out there. I'm curious what people have to say, and next time we do a conference, I'm going to try playing around with Google Hangout a little bit more, mm-hmm. Because with that, people should be able to text me while we're recording and jump right in, you know, and be able to kind of like a call-in show, only they can just, I should be able to add them. I haven't played enough around with the Hangouts to figure out if I can do that, but I have used them before. Just a whole lot of reworking to make things work. You have to use a software router for your audio, but I have the instructions written down here. It just takes a little bit of work, but it does work because I did it a couple times and it seems to work out pretty good. So, but, you know, we'll see how this Skype recording works out. So do you have anything left you want to say to anybody other than go see Star Trek?
No. I'm glad you had a chance to get it off your chest because I know it's been bothering you.
Yeah. It has. It's been kind of eating a hole in my gut. I'm like, I got to talk about this. It's killing me. So,
It's kind of nice to be able to admit that I'm a bit of a convert myself. So I do understand somebody that's got problems with it. And like you said, it would be nice, you know, for somebody to give us good, solid reasons why.
Yeah,
and we might say, oh, okay, we see that.
Yeah, I love that. I love when you can discuss a movie like that and it can come out with, you know, they can explain why, you know, what was so bad about it, or what they didn't like about it, you know. I mean, granted, I haven't read a lot of the reviews for Star Trek. I've just seen people mostly in the Sci-Fi Dig groups and some of the science fiction groups I follow. It wasn't like Iron Man where there was just some of the people were just such vitriol for the movie. And I'm like, I don't understand why you thought it was so terrible and nobody can explain it. And that's all I'm looking for. Somebody tell me what it is that made this movie so horrible for you. And I felt with Star Trek, if there's things you didn't like, you know, I think when I'm looking at IMDb, I think that I swear that there was a rating here, but I can't find it. I usually don't use Rotten Tomatoes.
It's 8.3.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So that's not terrible. I mean, that's pretty good. You know,
that's pretty darn good. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I see it now. Yeah. 8.3 and out of 10. That's not bad at all. You know, I think that's pretty good. And, you know, hey. Anyway, that's it.
Cool.